Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Pete. The big one at one, brought to you by your local Honda dealer. Time to get your local Honda dealer for model year clearance pricing. See your local Honda dealer today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Pete Haley of NBC Sports Washington. NBCSportsWashington.com is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline so that we can do a deep dive into yesterday's game. Pete, why don't we start on the defensive side of the ball? Not quite the impact for the front seven, as was the case in week one, and that was to be expected. What did we think of those guys, though?
Well, Grant, it's a good question to start. And real quick, I just want to say I'm sad that as a Pete on radio, my voice doesn't sound as good as Pete Medhurst. It's just so smooth, and I hate to follow it up. To answer your question, we just talked to Ron Rivera, and he said that he and Jack Del Rio had a conversation either last night or today, where they just kind of watched the tape of the defense and realized that they're playing more tentatively than they did in week one. And I kind of agree with that. And of course, when you play against Kyler Murray and you have his scrambling ability, you can't tee off on him like they did against Carson Wentz. And Arizona's offensive line was healthier. And Arizona also has DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald. So I think the defense actually did okay. Maybe I'm being softer on them than a lot of people, because those two first half touchdowns came when the Cardinals got the ball in the 48, and then the second one came after Steven Sims' fumble on the punt return. Besides that, I think they held up all right. They kept the Cardinals out of the end zone for a good stretch there. And to be looking at a scoreboard where Arizona had 20 points in the third, you would have thought, all right, Washington will be in the game. Sadly, the offense didn't do too much. So for this team to win consistently, it looks like the defense is going to have to play a B-plus to A-plus ball game every week. Yesterday, maybe they were in the C to C minus range, and that just clearly wasn't good enough to help the lacking offense up.
Well, to me, the worst unit right now in this offense is the offensive line, and I'm just pulling my hair out because I can't believe this was the plan. Is Sadiq Charles going to work out? Are they going to bring someone else in? Is the veteran they gave up a ham sandwich for going to play at some point? I just can't keep banging my head against the wall with this group here, Pete.
Yeah, well, Sadiq Charles, I think, will be at left tackle as soon as he's ready to go. We've seen him kind of do some more stretching, do more individual drills when we're out there in Ashburn every day for a few minutes of practice. But you're right, that only fills up one hole. You still have Wes Martin at left guard, and that's a problem. And behind him, what do you have? You have Keith Ishmael, a rookie who's versatile but is a fifth-round pick, who is one round worse than what Wes Martin was selected in. You have Wes Schweitzer, who is currently filling in for Brandon Scherff and will probably have to do that for a few more weeks. Ron said they got good news on Scherff's injury, but he's still going to miss time. And right tackle is Morgan Moses, and he's Morgan Moses at this point, one of the more maligned players on this team for good reason, I think. And he kind of seems to be declining more and more with each year. So there's a lot of places on this offense where you can't believe this is the plan, and you have trouble looking at Logan Thomas as the leading tight end, and you have trouble looking at a receiving core that signed Dontrell Inman and is now relying on him to play a ton of snaps. So I wrote a story this morning for our website. Like, it's obvious what the offense has to do. The O-line must protect. Dwayne's got to be sharper. The receivers outside of McLaurin have to step up. The tight end's got to be better. The running backs have to find more holes. That's obvious. But what isn't obvious is if they're actually capable of doing it. They're going to work hard to fix it. They're going to scheme things up. But talent matters in the NFL, clearly. And at some point, it might just be Washington doesn't have enough of it for 2020.
Antonio Gandy-Golden, Pete, got 5 reps this week. He got a target in his first NFL catch for 3 yards as well. How big is the gap between him being ready to supplant, you know, Dontrell Inman and what Inman gives them right now, who's still out there, you know, running routes all day, catching a couple balls, being targeted 5 or 6 times?
I guess the gap is fairly noticeable. I mean, in camp, Gandy-Golden didn't really show much. He had trouble in contested catches situations, which is supposed to be where he thrived, and then he got hurt, and that backtracked him a bit. But if Inman gives you another couple weeks of what he's giving you, and Gandy-Golden can slowly acquire more knowledge of the playbook and get on the field a little more, I think eventually they're going to have to turn to number 10 to see what he has, because I don't think Inman is in anyone's long-term plans. Clearly he wasn't, because he was available in August. So there are a couple spots like that with Jaron Christian at left tackle, Inman at receiver, where Ron Rivera is building so much for the future. And I think if he keeps getting subpar performances from the veterans he's trying to lean on early, he's going to turn to the younger guys behind so he can start figuring out what he has. But AGG, it's a fourth rounder from Liberty. Fourth round receivers as rookies really don't do a lot. That's not breaking news on this radio station here. And the lack of camp obviously hurt him too.
Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, with us here. Our Grant and Danny, defensively, the defensive line can't do what they did every week, and asking them to do that is probably unfair. It is the best position group on the roster, and it's one of the better ones on the league, to be frank, but you can't do 8 sacks and multiple turnovers per week. So the rest of the group, linebackers, I thought Kevin Pierre-Louis was good, but secondary gave me some pause, and I think that's going to be the issue. If offenses are able to move the football, that's going to be the reason, Pete.
Yeah, going to yesterday's game, I had a friend texting me frantically for updates on Kendall Fuller, because he was trying to figure out if he was betting Washington or Arizona. And I was texting back. I was like, I love Kendall Fuller. I'm glad he's back. I think he's really versatile, but I'm not sure he's a total difference maker back there. Like, the receivers in Arizona are going to go off with him or without him. But then I watched that game and I felt kind of like a jerk texting that. Like, Kendall Fuller is clearly going to help out this secondary, because we love Jimmy Moreland. We love how feisty he is, but he was just getting manhandled by bigger receivers yesterday. Fabian Moreau had the big pick in week 1, but he was taking some poor angles, missing some tackles. So for that secondary to improve, it's a shame that we haven't seen them at full strength yet. Kendall Fuller, I think, obviously, is going to make a really nice impact back there, and will kind of knock some of the players who are playing a lot of snaps down into more niche roles. Sorry, just stumbled trying to sound smart using that word. It clearly didn't work. And then at safety, Troy Apke, I think his days are numbered there too. Ron pointed to how he didn't play a lot last year or in his career coming up to this 2020 season, and how the lack of training camp hurt him, much like it did Dwayne Haskins and other guys. But Troy Apke's angles were supposed to be better. They certainly don't look better. I know DeShazer Everett is kind of your average defensive back, and Cam Curl has made some splash plays. I think we might start seeing those guys factor into the secondary a little more coming forward.
What's your Haskins assessment through 8 quarters?
My assessment is, obviously, September has not been what we wanted for him, but I don't really care as much about what September looks like if October, November look better. I mean, all offseason, we hoped that the Instagram videos and the cutting down the weight and the improved leadership and all the kind words from Rivera and Scott Turner would lead to a productive start, and he would immediately quiet his critics. But that was the hope. The realistic take was looking at this offense, looking at this roster, and looking at Haskins being under a third head coach in the NFL and having a new system, and expecting this to take a while. And clearly it's taking a while. So I think if you're calling for Dwayne's job, you're a dummy, and this should be the struggles that he's allowed to work through. Let's see what he can do in Cleveland. Let's see what he can do against Baltimore. Are the things that he's having trouble with, such as putting more touch on his passes and getting off to slow starts, will he improve in those areas? So Dwayne right now, again, we all wanted one thing, but the thing we should have been expecting and a lot of people were expecting is happening. But let's see where he is in game 7, game 8. Eventually, if this isn't getting better, then sure, you can turn to someone else. But I don't think, I tweeted that they shouldn't be pulling the plug, and they shouldn't even be near the wall where the plug is right now. Let him work through these issues.
Right now, according to Pro Football Focus, so again, grain of salt, but he's got the least amount of time in the NFL to throw, 2.15 seconds. Under pressure, 35% of his dropbacks, the third most. And, you know, we've kind of addressed the weapons in the offensive line. And I guess what I wonder is, for an older quarterback, he could probably deal with that better. For a younger guy, he's not dealing with those facts very well, where he's missing the easy ones. Do you think it's a result of maybe being hit, being not scared, that's not the right word, but sort of, you know, those, the Patrick Ramsey phenomenon? Or is it just a, you know what, he's not accurate? It's so hard for me to determine that, Peter.
It's absolutely hard for me to determine, too. And then I do hear the argument where people will point to what Justin Herbert did or what Joe Burrow did. These guys are young, too, and they're still balling out. And I think that's a very valid point. But those guys also had more time in college to play. And, yeah, Dwayne beat out Joe Burrow at Ohio State. I don't think that's relevant in this conversation. So I don't think he's getting Patrick Ramsey or David Card yet. Scott Turner told us a few months ago that he really liked what Dwayne's presence in the pocket was like when he was watching the film after he took the job. He thinks he doesn't need a lot of space to operate. But I do just wonder, did we expect too much of him? Ron Rivera says we're putting too much on his plate right now. That's the one thing they really want to fix. So all those numbers make sense. The lack of time in the pocket clearly is going to affect him. And the best quarterbacks will have short times in the pocket and be able to thrive and overcome it. Dwayne clearly isn't overcoming it yet. But again, I want to see if he can before pronouncing this whole project a failure and looking at Trevor Lawrence tape for 2021.
Pete, thank you, buddy. Much appreciated. And we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it. Go read Pete's work. It's NBCSportsWashington.com. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. First quarter yesterday, Washington had 24 yards and 2 first downs. By the fourth quarter, they were up to 130 yards and 8 first downs.
Yay.
In the second half, had almost 200 yards to make things look a little bit better. But, you know, he talks about taking some of the things off of Haskins' plate that Rivera pointed out. And it's a good point by Pete to say this is what Rivera said today. But when you're down 17-0 against Philly, and you're down 20-0 against Arizona, and then 20-3, and I think 27-3 after that, you know, you can't stay balanced. I mean, it's not like you can just go out right and run the ball and take a lot off of his plate. So they've got to start faster if they're going to do that. You're listening to The Fan. The fantasy football waiver wire is going to be frenzied in the next day or two with all of the injuries today. Cortland Sutton added to the list of players out for the year. Maybe not as important fantasy-wise, but Malik Hooker of the Colts, the safety, also out for the season. Man, what a disaster week two was around the NFL as far as health goes. And, you know, we say these things, it's just words. It's out for the year, torn ACL, and we expect come September that guy's just going to be back on the field playing football again. But it means a life-changing amount of rehab and, you know, awful, painful nights
miserable
and days ahead for those guys. It really does stink.
Yeah, it's much easier for us with, you know, without the human element, as the, you know, these are names on a piece of paper, or in this case, you know, on our Yahoo Fantasy Sports app to sort of trade and exchange and move on from. But you're 100% right. I mean, there's a very real element. It's easy to kind of mentally distance from that, but just what these guys go through is just unbelievable. And it's easier not to think about that because, honestly, it makes the games less enjoyable at times to think about all the injuries and some of the stuff that's not as much fun. But you're 100% right. Just grinding, arduous rehab for all of those guys.
Speaking of not that enjoyable, how about the Cardinals? You know, yesterday's game, they win 30-15. That's a fun watch. Kyler Murray is a dual threat, is dangerous. He's lethal out of the pocket with the football, rushed for 2 touchdowns and 67 yards yesterday. It honestly felt like more than that, I thought. But he also threw for 285 and to score. DeAndre Hopkins, more catches in his first 2 games with the team than anybody's ever had before. He's been targeted 26 times over these 2 contests for the Cards. They don't use Christian Kirk that much. He had a 49-yard reception, beat Ronald Darby yesterday, and they got the ball to Andy Isabella on a 54-yard grab when he beat Apke. But for the most part, it's Hopkins and Fitzgerald in the possession game, and then they take a couple shots here and there. But they got a good thing going, man. Their running game is okay when they need to salt the game away. They basically use their passing game as their running game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go as far maybe as their defense takes them. Chandler Jones was pretty quiet yesterday, had a fumble recovery. But he's one of the best pass rushers in football. Arizona in the NFC West, 2-0, tied with Seattle and the Rams. We had not gotten to watch Kyler Murray as a fan base yet over the last couple of years, but he showed you what all the hype's about yesterday.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with just touching on one moment. That defensive front, I thought, was pretty good. Now, is it because they're playing Washington and kind of what we saw against Philadelphia in week one on the other side? Maybe. But I thought they moved around pretty well and took away some things and were fine. That group is not world-beating. That's not a group that's going to win games on a weekly basis. They got to do just enough. They got to force a turnover here and there. They got to stop a couple of possessions to get it back to the offense, which is where the bread is buttered. But for Murray, really impressive, man. I mean, really, really impressive. Not just because of the, you know, the video game quickness. I mean, he's Lamar Jackson in running back form. Jackson's built like a wide receiver running around that way. And Murray's quicker, if that's even a thing. Like the starting and stopping and the trickeration and, you know, the head fakes, shoulder fakes, quick movements. He's really, really hard to bring down. You can't do it by yourself. It's not because he's huge, not because he's Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger or, you know, Dante Culpepper back in the day, but because if he's got an escape route, he escapes, and that's the end of that. I mean, I don't care how fast and quick and strong you are. Like Chase Young was just left in the dust once when he had a great angle on Murray, who just, you know, out-accelerated him, got the edge, and ended up either throwing it away or getting like a yard and a half or something like that. But he looks the part, man. He was really, really, really impressive, and they got him a bunch of options. I don't know who you cover. I don't know how you stop everything out of that group. They're pretty impressive.
I like Cliff Kingsbury's play calling yesterday, if we could go a little deeper into him for a second. So he went for a fourth down when a lot of coaches wouldn't to extend a drive when they already have a pretty big lead. He actually, you know, insult the game away time in the second half. They passed it on seven consecutive snaps on their way down the field. When he got hired, they got lambasted because he had not had a ton of success at the college level. And I remember people kind of joning, particularly college football fans. You know, are you kidding me? Cliff Kingsbury's an NFL head coach. What a charmed life. Must be nice to have a good look and a clean beard. And I mean, all this crap. That guy has done a really good job in the last year and a half. And I had people tweeting me yesterday about his record as if, you know, coaches aren't hired to terrible teams and over the first couple years aren't naturally going to have a bad record. But he's got his team at 2-0 to start year number two right now. But they just do it a little bit different. And I think that's why the hire was so unpopular. People don't love, you know, when Chip Kelly or Cliff Kingsbury or someone who's out of the box, who's not one of the good old boys, who doesn't do it the way that we've always done it, the way it's supposed to be done. When someone does it a little bit different, Danny, you're not going to have nearly as much support or people that are rallying around to be thrilled for, you know, Vic Fangio or Mike Zimmer, who also deserved it. You know, those guys worked their butts off for 25 years. But this is another way to do it. A guy who thinks differently than those guys, who's going to play the game a little differently, that's not going to run it on first and second down. And I'm excited to see where this goes for Arizona, because they have paired the coach with the quarterback, and it is working. And when you get those two things working in harmony,
that's right,
generally you can win championships. And I'm not saying they're at that level yet, but they're still in their infancy as a marriage here.
So Chip Kelly didn't work because he was a jerk, by all accounts. It ain't because people stopped him. It's not because people figured it out. You know what I mean? Like, the forward thinker is what this game needs. You know, the Mike D'Antoni's in the NBA, where, you know, you get Charles Barkley on television going, you can't win a game, can't win a championship unless you have two centers post up back to the basket. Not true at all. Golden State, the game has changed. Right in front of your face. Smacking you right in the face with a wet salmon. It's obvious. This is different. Football's been in dire straits need of these guys for the longest time. Baseball's probably one, football's 1A, right? Where just you have to get the dinosaurs out of it. You have to get Oklahoma drill, bull in the ring, hat on a hat nonsense, where everything is a macho contest, and fourth and one means pushing contest instead of doing the correct things that are analytically smart. Kingsbury gets it. He gets it. Whatever that is, he gets it. He understands that if you want to run, you don't bring everybody together, defenders closest to where the football is. You spread them out. He understands that. He understands matchups and balance. And he understands possession of the football is the most critical thing in the sport. You don't just give it up lightly. You don't just give away the football, even if it means going for it in your own end. I love what I've seen so far from Kingsbury. And I know the record isn't great just yet. But as you said, he didn't walk. It wasn't like a head coach that won the Super Bowl at 14-2 decided to retire and this guy took over to a great program. They had just fired a coach after 1 year and got rid of a quarterback also after 1 year.
Well, you'd walk into a rosy situation. Yeah, they're like, yeah, he's 7-17, or I don't know his record, but It's like you realize that he got hired. They were picking first in the draft, right, you goofball? You understand why a guy gets hired. It's because they fired the last guy. Normally they're not going, well, damn, we got a great team. We're about to win the Super Bowl. We just won the division last year. Why don't we fire this guy and bring in someone else? That's not generally how coaching hires work. So it's no kidding that the team wasn't great. It's like judging quarterbacks on wins and losses that quarterback bad teams. If you dropped a quarterback who's good, say Russell Wilson, onto the Jets, do you think they just go 11-5 this year because Russell Wilson shows up? Like it's a chicken or the egg thing where if you just had Russell Wilson. No, they would not be 11-5 this year. That's not the way it works. Doesn't mean he's not great. And from a coaching standpoint, if Cliff Kingsbury is coaching this Cardinals team, he might be able to go 9-7 or something like that. If he was the coach of the Jets right now, I'll bet you they'd still be 0-2. It's the same kind of deal. The other thing that's annoying that people do, in addition to the what's his coaching record bit, and I'm saying early, like 6 years in, obviously, a guy is their record. I understand that. At some point, you got to answer to your results. But this thing about Russell Wilson never having gotten an MVP vote is one of the dumber things that we have, that we talk about in football now. Like everyone's up in arms like, Russell Wilson's never gotten an MVP vote. But most people will admit that Russell Wilson should not have won the MVP award at any point yet. Like that last year, Lamar Jackson should have won the award. And the year before that, Pat Mahomes should have won the award. And you go year by year, and everyone's like, yeah, it's fine, he didn't win it, but he should have been runner-up or something. The voters get one vote. So what you're basically saying is that at some point, someone should have just talked to everyone else, made sure that their vote wasn't swinging it away.
No one threw their vote away, ever.
Exactly. Okay. Like, Russell Wilson hasn't gotten one vote. Well, that's because you only get one vote, and you vote for the person that should win it. And if we all agree that that Russell Wilson hasn't been snubbed, and I think that's the case, then the storyline and the narrative of him not having a single vote so far. They talked about it last night on Sunday Night Football. It seemed like every drive. And I like Russell Wilson. He's way better at this point than I ever thought he was going to become. He's the second best quarterback in football, probably behind Pat Mahomes at this moment. And he's probably had the two best games of anybody in the league. In fact, not probably, definitely. But that doesn't mean that him not getting an MVP vote is some like major crime. It's a weird thing that they're doing.
Can we play super quick what's dumber? The no Russell Wilson MVP votes thing or the comparing percentages of Major League Baseball Hall of Fame votes received? It's because we only have one unanimous guy, and this guy got 99%, and this guy is a better Hall of Famer than a different Hall of Famer. Which is a dumber thing to you?
Ooh, I think the Russell Wilson one, honestly. Because what you're basically saying is nobody gave him a courtesy vote that he didn't really deserve. Like, nobody picked the second-best player. Why would you do that? And we're acting like they fill out these ballots like baseball, where it's like they put five guys on their list and Russell Wilson wasn't one of them. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Next, let's pull some of the good out of this game. We have harped on some of the negative and some of the bad. What did we like that we saw yesterday? You're listening to G&D. The heavy lifting today has been done on the Washington football team, but what a night in sports. While the Patriots and the Seahawks were treating us to a dandy on Sunday Night Football, Anthony Davis hit a game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer to give the Lakers a 105-103 victory over the Nuggets. They took a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Final. Denver was on the precipice of even in that series at one, which would have been massive. Nikola Jokic had 11 straight points down the stretch for the Nuggets. They just couldn't stop him. The Lakers had no answer, and he was scoring over Davis. But Davis, meanwhile, on the other end, scored 10 straight for the Lakers, including that three at the horn on a bad defensive switch by the Nuggets. So the Lakers are up 2-0. What a scene last night, though, in the bubble.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's basically for the Lakers. If they get a third guy, doesn't matter who it is. It can be Rondo, which it's been. It can be Kuzma. It can be Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee. If somebody does something besides that big two, they're winning the championship. What a moment last night. That was incredible. I mean, Miles Plumlee is, I think I got the right Plumlee. There's a million of them. Maybe it's Mason. Maybe it's like Mark. I don't know. Whatever Plumlee it is. Hand right there in his face. Right there in his face. Still drilled it. What a moment.
We'll see if the Nuggets can respond. Feels like that was demoralizing. You give it everything you got. So much goes well down the stretch. You get a couple of leads in the final 15 seconds, and you still lose the game, which is a dagger. And then meanwhile, and I'm sure, Danny, you paid a lot of attention to this over the weekend, knowing you the way that I do, but at Old Winged Foot, Bryson DeChambeau was a champion, my friend. He wins his first major, the U.S. Open. NCAA Division I individual title, U.S. amateur as well. The first guy other than Tiger and Jack Nicklaus to string those victories together. How about DeChambeau, the mad scientist approach, paying off?
I learned of that name, I think it was maybe a month ago, maybe a little bit more, 6 weeks. I'm not sure exactly when the timeline was. But I appreciate everybody letting me know what word I needed to mute. So I was able to do that to get that golf nonsense off of my timeline.
No chance you muted DeChambeau.
I'll find it. I'll show you. Absolutely did. People were over talking about him in a brief moment because I guess he like hit a drive at some point or like somebody tried to make him a thing. And I quickly moved to mute the term or word DeChambeau to go with my other golf mutings. Let me see if I can find it for you.
Yeah, go ahead and tweet that out. That'll go well, I think. Tweet out a screen grab of you muting the word DeChambeau.
Muted.
But yeah, that was a big story. People were excited, and it's kind of cool, honestly. Like, you take the golf out of it, which I know bothers you for whatever reason, but it seems like we've got an analytical thing on our hands where this guy's decided he's going to lift weights and get really big and drive the ball longer than anybody else and essentially focus on driving and putting. And from what Dar tells me, is he's just kind of getting rid of parts of golf that have always existed. And so you've got the old guard community who's mad, and this guy who's doing it differently. It sounds kind of like something right up our alley. We like when guys like this thrive by getting out of the box and trying to outsmart people. So he gets his win. He gets the last laugh, at least for now, in the U.S. Open. All right, what did we like from Washington? It's been a somewhat negative, realistic, reasonable show, but doesn't mean it wasn't negative at times. Things I liked, Terry McLaurin. I'll start with him. 10 targets, 7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Just good to remember how good Terry McLaurin is. Case could be made this was the best game of his career, tied for his highest catch total, second in yards, 5 off of his career high, 130, and he scored a touchdown. McLaurin, yesterday, a machine. I don't know how many of these he'll have this season just because he's going to get covered pretty tightly and he's going to get so much attention, and it took a lot of garbage time production from the offense to get him there. But I'll take it. I mean, he makes plays. Really, really good player. Did have one dropper. It could have probably been like 8 for 160 yesterday.
Kevin Pierre-Louis. Okay, dude. I kind of didn't know. We're 15 tackles, 1 forced fumble. Okay. That was pretty impressive. I don't know how good he is in coverage, and I think that's kind of the theme right now across the league is if your linebackers and safeties can't cover, we're going to find out about it pretty quickly, right? Because guys are going to be open. That's how people are counteracting pass rushes, that sort of middle tier and in front quick stuff. But you make 15 plays and you're not a free safety in a bad defense, you turn heads. Kevin Pierre-Louis, I thought, was really impressive yesterday, Grant.
I agree with that. Right now, Chase Young is tied for the NFL lead with 2.5 sacks through 2 games. So we can parse things up and say, yeah, but on that play, or yeah, what happened here? Every player that has played 2 games so far has been on the field.
He's
and
good.
Only Chase Young and T.J. Watt have 2.5 sacks at this point. So he has produced, he has played well, and the defense is markedly improved, clearly up front. So I'll put him in the good column yesterday.
That's part of the good column. I like that one. He's undoubtedly been good. I'll say Cameron Curl, and this is a bit of a stretch, but how many times have we done this late round, you know, Chris Horton division or Kareem Moore or whoever the hell it is, you know, small sample, free safety, whomever, out of a school middle of nowhere, plays okay. But I've liked what I've seen so far. Only a couple tackles yesterday, but that the one play that ended up going to Hopkins, it was a little wide receiver pick play screen thing. He saw it really quickly. Now, I couldn't get there in time because it's, you know, well-executed, good design, but that's the kind of stuff I love. The recognition, no fear, reacted downhill super quick, ends up making the play for, you know, just a couple-yard gain. But I was impressed by what I saw from Cameron Curl.
Yeah, I just like how fast he's playing. Mm-hmm. This is one of those, like, cliched coach on Hard Knocks things. But I want you to make your mistakes at full speed, and he's done that. I like guys, coaches use this phrase all the time, shoot your gun. Like, don't sit around and wait on your heels and get caught with your pants down. You go make a play. And he just seems to be always coming downhill, always moving at a million miles per hour. And the word I like to use and maybe overuse is flash. If you got a synonym for that, send it to me so I don't overuse flash. But I'm looking for wow moments. I'm looking for, you know, something to highlight in my notes. And he will pop from time to time. You're looking for Haskins. You're looking for Antonio Gibson, Gandy Golden as the year goes on. Curl's doing that. So I think that's been good to see, particularly, as you said, for a seventh-round pick. And we'll see what that means ultimately. There's a lot of football ahead of him this year. But at a position where Landon Collins has not been stellar, he's been okay, I think, and Troy Apke has been worse than that. And maybe Curl continues to get more run. I was also interested in this fact. If you look at the playtime discrepancy for the DBs, Danny, yesterday, Fabian Moreau didn't play as much as you might have thought coming off of a really strong week one because they used Curl in coverage more. So they had 77 snaps on defense. Jimmy Moreland played every single one of them. Ronald Darby played 76 out of 77. Fabian Moreau, only 53% of those snaps. Cameron Curl played 42% of the time as a third safety. So there were plenty of opportunities to go with an extra corner, and instead they put Curl out there, which I think speaks to how much they've liked what they've seen from him too.
And I wonder if that's a Larry Fitzgerald thing, where you just put a corner in there that they can just check to a run or use one of those RPOs, and if Fitzgerald knock his, you know, butt back 10 yards. I wonder if that had something to do with it, but that is a surprising number to me, by the way. Yeah. I would not have guessed that. Even just having watched the game, I wouldn't have guessed the numbers were that skewed.
Let's get ready for Monday Night Football next on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. G&D 106.7 The Fan. The return of football means a chance to make picks and maybe even win some money. You can play against me and a bunch of other radio hosts around the country via the Rocket Mortgage Pick'em. You can win up to $10,000 in 2020 Pro Football Pick'em from Rocket Mortgage. Sign up today, radio.com/picks, and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spread, straight up. No lineups, totally free to enter. Pick the most games right throughout the season. You could win $10,000. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up now at radio.com/picks. By the way, one game left in week two, so 15 so far. Your boy, 14-1 so far in week two in my picks.
You went 14-1?
14. Now, it's not against the spread. This is just straight up picks.
Straight up.
But still, it's got me one game back of all the hosts in the country, which is cool. And I have the best record in week two, 14-1. So I'm leaning on the Saints tonight to get me to 15-1 would probably be my best week ever in a 16-game slate.
I mean, you'd be on VH1 with all the comics talking about that. That's unbelievable. Going 14, if you lose tonight, 14-2, that's pretty badass.
No thanks, Daniel Jones and the Giants, who could not get a win yesterday. So that's my one loss. I had them over the Bears. Remember, I was debating, do I get cute and pick New York or go to Chicago? I just didn't have a feel for that. But, yeah, otherwise, yesterday, a clean slate in the NFL. It's time for this date in Nats history. Let's go back in time.
And now the set and the pitch. Swing and a line drive toward the right field line. Bogusevich coming over. Can't get it. Falls in for the base hit. Bernardino's around third. He scores. Maxwell into third, stopping there. And the Nationals have the lead for the first time tonight on a pinch hit RBI single down the right field line for Adam Kennedy. The Nationals 4, the Astros 3. Runners on the corners with two out. And Danny Espinosa coming up.
First of all, Adam Kennedy. Wow. Second of all, Tyler Clippard got the win in relief in that game. Great. He won 11 games that year in 2010, including that one against the Houston Astros. Real shame the Astros had to lose that one, though. Always bummed when that happens. You hate to see it. But Tyler Clippard led the team in wins as a relief pitcher. Never a good sign for a club, but a fun, quirky blast from the past.
That highlight tells you just how far things have come. Adam Kennedy and Espinosa and Clippard in relief. If you want your own Washington Nationals World Series ring, you can enter to win your own World Series ring because they are now champions. Long ways from that highlight. NatsRingSweeps.com. That's NatsRingSweeps.com. Every entry helps support Nationals Philanthropies, the official charitable arm of the Washington Nationals, which does incredible work in our communities. Monday Night Football tonight, I'm excited to watch the Saints and the Raiders. So I think I got two storylines I care about here. I'm sure you have others. Number one for me, I want to see this venue. This is the first game in Vegas. In their new indoor dome. Like, they call it the Death Star. It's like this all-black circular hockey puck thing. I drove by it once when we were out there for the Cup when they were building it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like after SoFi just blew me away where they're playing now Rams and Chargers home games. And then the other thing is Drew Brees in week one, Danny, we talked about this. He played a game that left some questions. He was efficient and okay, but he could not push the ball down the field at all. I want to see if he gets dared to chuck it up top, if he's able to. What kind of arm strength does he have left? Yeah. They're going to have a hard time winning the Super Bowl, which is the goal in New Orleans, if Drew Brees is a liability in the downfield passing game. So those are the two things I'm monitoring in week two, Monday Night
Football. Michael Thomas. Drew Brees is a different quarterback the last couple of seasons. Now, that's going to happen with everybody, right? You take away Julio Jones, I bet you Matt Ryan gets worse. You move on from Keenan Allen, whoever's playing quarterback in L.A. is going to be worse. We know the score here, right? But this is a dramatic drop-off. They got Emmanuel Sanders. They still have Tre'Quan Smith, Alvin Kamara, etc. Can this New Orleans offense do enough against a bad Raiders defense, quite frankly, to do enough to win in prime time? The Saints' defense is underrated. It's really, really good. I expect them to limit Josh Jacobs, who's gotten about a trillion fantasy points through the first couple of weeks. But I'm with you. To me, the venue is the story, and kind of 1A is can New Orleans, keep making par putts here to stay atop of the NFC, even without one of the best players in the sport, Michael Thomas.
8:15 kickoff tonight, ABC and ESPN for the Saints and the Raiders in Vegas. Winners 2-0, and the losers fall into 500. Speaking of stories, while we were on the air today, the big news in the league, Saquon Barkley is out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL, and Christian McCaffrey of the Panthers sidelined with a high ankle sprain. Those were the top two picks in fantasy football in about 95% of leagues. There are a bevy of other bad injury updates, including Cortland Sutton out for the year for the Denver Broncos, Malik Hooker expected to miss the rest of the season for the Indianapolis Colts as well.
Ooh, that's a bummer. Was that an Achilles for Hooker? Is that what that one was?
Yeah.
I hate these, man. I hate the ones. Well, I hate them all the injuries, obviously, when they go that way. But it's just one of those, like, you know, the Kobe Bryant Achilles type injury, right? I mean, the one where you just go, nothing really happened. It was just a freak thing. I hate those even more than, you know, kind of guys getting rolled up on at certain plays. It just stinks. I hate injuries when they become the story.
So I look at Washington, and you don't want to talk about being lucky or unlucky with injuries or whatever, but if Brandon Scherff is able to get back in a few weeks, which is kind of what they made it sound like, then things could have been a lot worse for them coming out of yesterday in the second game in Arizona. Maybe Rivera gets a little credit for that as they ran fewer snaps because he didn't burn those timeouts. But regardless, Scherff is the one guy to monitor. Sounds like he will miss time but won't miss games.
So the total is just a couple games, I thought, right? Or is it you're saying it's like he's not going on injured reserve or anything?
I wouldn't expect so, no. I mean, they made it seem like it's minor and you know, 2-3 games perhaps, something like that. But it's not going to be a lengthy stay.
Season changer. So you hope that, you know, these guys can kind of tread water and you don't get Haskins hurt or something else disastrous like that. But, yeah, for a couple of weeks against a couple decent opponents, you're going to feel that loss of Brandon Scherff. But it's good news both really for him and the team trying to figure out a contract.
All right, what do you got on the docket tonight, Danny?
We're going to have a little bike riding time. It's weather's beautiful outside, and a friend of my wife's is coming over for a little backyard mask-wearing social distancing greeting type stuff. Excited to do that.
What kind of, is like Halloween masks or like the masks that we're all supposed to wear now over our mouth and nose?
The second one. We're just trying to be good citizens.
It'd be funnier, though, if when she came over, you made her wear a Halloween mask.
Just a weird mask. Surprise.
Chad is next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.